My attention was distracted by a gentle pricking of some sharp point under my right ear, and a soft voice whispering, "Lie still, friend, and prosper. For the moment, speak, and you'll be talking to Shaitan." I've written elsewhere of the terror of being shocked awake by deadly danger, and of the freezing paralysis that follows. It's happened to me more than once. Why, in China, I was dragged out of bed into a midnight skirmish, and then into the presence of the lunatic leader of the Taiping Rebellion. But at least in that case, my panic was short-lived, since my kidnappers proved to be friends. No such luck in Habesh. Half-drunk as I was, there was no mistaking the threat of the knife-point, the lamplit nightmare of the gleaming eyes and teeth in the black faces staring down at me, the gag thrust brutally into my mouth, and the grip of the hands that wrenched me to my feet and ran me from the room, down a rickety staircase, and into the pouring rain of a chill night. Robed figures with swords and spears were about me, and then a blindfold was whipped over my face, and I was being half-carried, half-thrust along, trying to yell for help through my gag, and almost swallowing the thing out of sheer funk. What made it doubly terrifying was the complete silence of my captors. Not an order, not a word or a threat after that gloating voice that had woken me. These were professional kidnappers, probably expert assassins, who knew exactly what they were doing, where they were taking me, and why. Although the wherefore didn't occur to me, fuddled with fright and liquor as I was, until I was flung down onto a stretcher, swiftly bound to it and borne off at a run. Only then, when I realised that I was not being hauled out to instant execution, did I ask myself who could be behind this abduction. The answer seemed horribly clear. Ulaba Walk, thirsting for vengeance, and remembering how she dealt with Yando was enough to bring me out in a lather of fear. Oh, Lord, and she'd had some ghastly notion of removing a victim's bones one at a time and keeping him in agony for months. Being unable to scream or spew, I could only lie terrified while they jolted me along at speed. Heaven knew how far we went, or how long it took. You ain't at your calculating best with a mind a-shudder and a belly full of drink, but I don't believe they could have kept up that pace more than an hour. Over 5 miles, perhaps, before they halted for a breather and set me down. The blindfold was stripped away, leaving me blinking in the glare of a torch in the hand of one of the men surrounding me. 7 or 8 of them, galas, in white pyjama trousers and belted robes, strapping fellows fully armed with spears and sickle swords, 1 or 2 with muskets, and their leader with a couple of horse pistols in his belt. He was one of your typical wallows, handsome as Lucifer, and every bit as kindly to judge from his sneering grin. But when I rolled my eyes in dumb appeal, he pulled out the gag. I was too parched to speak at first, but probably because he wanted to hear what I had to say, he signed one of the band who held a chaggle to my lips, and the first words I croaked out to confirm my suspicions were, "Where is she?" "The Queen, Ulaba Walk," says he. "Be patient. You will see her presently, and she will reward you for your services." It was the same soft mocking voice that had threatened me with a chat to old Nick, chuckling pleasantly as his gang grinned like a pack of wolves over a peasant, and I gibbered at him. "What the devil do you mean? Do you know who I am? A British officer, the envoy of Dejaz Napier, and by God, if you don't set me loose this instant, you'll swing higher than Haman, you black son of a bitch. Queen Mastiat will see to it, and that slut Ulaba won't be able to shield you." He struck me backhanded across the mouth. "Speak foully once more of Queen Ulaba Walk, and you'll be unable to speak to Shaitan. For before you die, I'll tear your tongue out." He slapped me again and resumed his mockery. "No one will know what has become of you, Farangi fool. Your Dejaz may ask what has happened to you, and Queen Ulaba Walk will lament your strange disappearance. Or I. By then she will have replaced the fat bitch. We shall not fail a second time. She may even order me, Gorham, to make a search, but by then not enough will remain of your filthy carcass to make a meal for a jackal-pup." So, he wasn't a mercenary, as for a second I dare to hope, but a genuine Ulaba worshipper, one of the crazy conspirators who'd survived the botched coup to put her on the throne. And, thanks to Mastiat's idiotic indulgence, she was free to make a second attempt, and to butcher me. "Don't be a fool, Gorham," said I, calm and quiet, for I saw yelling wouldn't serve with this one. Dedjus Napier and the Basha Falaka are cunning men who know Uluba and her plots, and they'll trace